Well, it's Easter 2020. What a time. Very different from our normal Easter, very different from our normal lifestyle, very different from our normal holiday mode or wherever we go or spending time with families. Totally changed. But instead, we're under different pressures. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of challenges. There's a lot of anxiety. We've got disease, pandemic, at its level, we have deaths, we have limited freedom, we have, some of us, a lack of income, no work, and our lives are in complete disarray or changed. I'm not sure about everyone listening to me, but some of us are coping to a degree, some are coping well, and to others, this is a totally stressful time and they're finding it difficult to cope altogether. We have to find an answer for ourselves in this situation. We can turn around and cave in, put ourselves into a bit of distress, or we can turn around and look at the positives, wherever they may be for your life or mine. I prefer to have an attitude of gratitude, not anything else. I'm enjoying the time off. I'm enjoying the freedom. I'm spending more time reading the Word, listening to Christian teachings and messages, things that I've normally never got time for. But others want to play the blame game or point the finger. It's the government's fault. It's the cruise liner's fault. It's an international community's fault. It's the bank's fault. It's the boss's fault. We can't have that type of attitude. At a time like this, we need to reflect on ourselves and our own preparedness. We need to know if we're prepared within ourselves to face whatever is coming on us, whatever this world's throwing at us, whatever situation we find ourselves in. It's our own preparedness that's important. Have we put ourselves in a position where we can be prepared, where we've got someone to turn to, where we've got people we can contact, phone, and spend time with interacting? It's important to be able to just have some form of fellowship with somebody. Call somebody, talk to your neighbor, keep people in contact. You know, when Jesus was under the most pressure in his life, he gave us a prime example. The time that he knew he was going to be crucified, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was interceding and praying for the world. He was under intense stress. In fact, it got to the point where he said to the Father, "If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me, but Father, not my will, your will." The Bible even records that as he was in that position of intense stress, that he sweated drops of blood. Now, there's a medical phenomena that says this is a case that can happen in cases of extreme stress. And none of us have ever reached that point. None of us have ever got to the point where we've had to sweat drops of blood. But from his arrest, he then took beatings. He took abuse. The crown of thorns jammed down over his head, and those thorns are approximately 50 millimeters long. His beard was torn from his face by the handful. The Bible tells us his vision was marred more than any other man, even to the point where Mary, coming to the cross, was looking up to see who was her son. And he had to say, "Woman, behold your son, it's me. I know you don't recognize me. I know I'm looking different. I'm bloodied, I'm beaten up, I'm whipped, I'm scourged, my face is torn apart, but this is me." Hanging on that cross was amazing. None of us probably could have taken it to the extent Jesus did. We would have given up a lot earlier, maybe capitulated, maybe given in to the pressures of society. But his heart was for what was ahead of him. His heart was for what was on the other side of the cross that included you and me. And even on that cross, the thief beside him repented and said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus reached out to him in a way that said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." He had a heart for others, even at his highest point of stress. Pretty amazing. Absolutely incredible. What an example. More than this, the soldiers, those that whipped him, those that scourged him, the crowd that were jeering and tormenting him, were all there, and yet he still said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They really don't understand what this is all about." You know, we will never have to endure what Jesus went through. We'll never have to take that type of punishment. But some of us cave in at a far lesser standard of pressure or stress or anxiety because we haven't got ourselves into a state of preparedness. We don't have our peace set on Jesus. We don't have a relationship with him that takes our cares and casts them on Jesus. Where the Bible says he will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because he know we trust in him. We're pretty well a generation of self-centeredness. Everything we want is for ourselves. Everything that we look at has to do with self-gratification. We either think it's someone else's fault, someone else's responsibility. We even have some form of a "I'll get you back" vengeful type mentality, which isn't really good. "I'll make you pay." So difficult when Jesus set the prime example at Easter time on that cross for us to love our enemies. He told us in Matthew 5, "You've heard that it was said, take an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Get revenge." Then he said, "But I say to you, not to resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other one also. If someone wants to sue you and take your coat, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile or compels you to go 1 mile, offer to go two or go two with him. Give to the one who asks you and do not turn them away, and also to the one who wants to borrow from you. You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy." Jesus was quoting Old Testament paradigms and attitudes. But he said, "I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be active as the sons of your Father in heaven and showing people who your God is. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on righteous and unrighteous. He doesn't dissimulate between one and the other. We're all a benefit and in beneficiaries of God's goodness on this planet. He says, if we only love those who love us, what reward will that get you?" A very, very similar rendition of that, those words of Jesus, is in Luke chapter 6, where he says, "Do good to those who despitefully use you." You know, sometimes we get quite antagonistic to people and have a bad attitude when we're thinking we're getting badly done by. Someone's got a little bit better slice of the pie than we have. Someone's not paying their way. Someone hasn't shouted their round. We get really bent out of shape. But Jesus said, "Do good to those who despitefully use you. Lend and hope for nothing in return, for your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High God. He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father is also merciful." You know, a state of preparedness is a state of the heart. A real heart is a heart that leans on God and trusts in him, looks for his peace, looks for his joy, looks for his love. It's a heart that's after God's own heart. "Father, forgive those that have upset me. Forgive those that have hurt me. Forgive those that I don't understand their actions, and they probably don't understand mine. Lord, they probably don't have a clue what they're doing or how hurtful they've been or why they're doing what they're doing. And Father, help me. I'm trying and can only do my best in my own strength, but I need your strength to enable me not to just to give my best, but to give your best, to let my life reflect the fact that I'm a child of the King of Kings, that I'm a son or a daughter of the Most High God. Father, I want to be an example and an ambassador for the kingdom of heaven. And so, Lord, I pray my heart will be prepared at every time and at any time that I can show your peace, your love, and your joy at a time when the world desperately needs it. You know, the Bible tells us to rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice means to rekindle your joy. Get your joy into action. And if it's feeling a bit down, if you're feeling a little bit beside yourself and not quite up there with the happiness, rekindle your joy. Get into God's Word. Start to listen to some great Christian music. Get into some of the online streaming ministry and rekindle your joy. Rekindle your relationship with God. Keep things ebbing at a peak so that your state and heart of preparedness will see you through all of the tough times. And so, Father, I pray for everyone listening in the name of Jesus. I pray for their peace. I pray for their solidarity. I pray for their provision. I pray for their homes. And I thank you, Lord, that for your people you have promised you will guard, keep, guide, and protect us. And I thank you, Lord God, for every aspect of your covenant protection as people at this time think of the fact you came and gave your life for them and you died on a cross so we could be healed, set free, have a relationship with you. And I pray at this time, Lord God, those thoughts will be the thoughts of many and we get a chance to share them with all of our friends, with others that we know. In Jesus' name, amen.